And now the conclusion of the live and local interview with Dr. Gina Ligon, Director of the Counterterrorism Unit at UNO. Are there things that just common people who work for a company of some kind can do to keep an eye out? I mean, I always think that, you know, don't click on the thing from the Nigerian prince. You're not getting $10 million bucks. I promise you. Don't do it, yeah. Right?
Yeah. What's interesting, I think, so I'm in the College of Business. 97% of our critical infrastructure is owned by private companies, not the federal government. So I do think that centers like ours can help private businesses, healthcare organizations, the people that work at the pipeline, to be able to be more well-versed in these phishing attacks, things that compromise their own personal security. And we have a wonderful cybersecurity program here at UNO who researches just that as well.
Because you're involved in this type of work, at some level, when you look at the big picture, does it scare the heck out of you how fragile the infrastructure can be? Or do you feel pretty confident that, we don't have anything to worry about?
What it does is it actually helps me see how resilient we are, you know, and I think that that's a big part of what we're trying to do is to look at the single points of failure in our critical infrastructure. I mean, you saw with the COVID pandemic and the supply chain that there are some nodes of failure. And so whatever we can do to make those systems more resilient and to help protect them, I think that's a really noble part of what our center's doing. I mean, there was a huge attack this summer on healthcare IT infrastructure, and we were able to recover from it, even right here in Nebraska. So I think that there are more redundancies and resilience in our critical infrastructure than the general public realizes.
Sure. You mentioned that attack this summer. UNMC got hit very hard with their patient mm-hmm. records. You mentioned that you're with the College of Business. So how on earth did you become the director of the counterterrorism unit at UNO?
Yeah. So, well, my training, I'm an organizational psychologist. So I study the psychology of organizations and the people who lead them. And the particular organizations who I've always found the most interested in training are actually terrorist organizations and trying to understand how a couple of friends who have a grievance can eventually build a whole organization that can wreak havoc. And so it makes perfect sense to me because most people with my degree help other types of organizations get stronger. And what I feel like my niche is helping the government to break organizations that are more malign or nefarious.
It is my understanding that you have a loose connection to the Oklahoma City bombing, which may have directed your career in this direction.
I'm from Oklahoma, and our school trip went up there to go see it about a week after it happened. One of our teachers thought it was important for us to see, and that has an indelible mark on a person. I think, you know, just to realize that a belief can move someone to that mass atrocity and just the thinking that goes into that. And so that's really the psychology of radicalization. That was one person propped up by a few different types of organizations and beliefs. But I think, you know, the unrest we see today, too, reminds me a lot of it. To me, whatever we can do right here from Nebraska to help the government to stop that and to fight it is really important. And it is sort of a way to undo what I got to see as a 15-year-old in Oklahoma.
Ideology aside, just what was it like for you as a 15-year-old to, can you describe the devastation? Was there silence? Were the sounds of a city back to life in the background? I mean, what was it like to stand in front of this, knowing that many people died there? Can you talk about the emotional impact of that? Because it's been so long ago, we actually have a generation of people who could be listening now who were very young or not born when that happened.
Yeah, I think, you know, Oklahoma City looks a lot like downtown Omaha, right? And so there's not a lot of tall buildings, but the Murrow Building was one that was large. We couldn't get close because the roads were closed for cleanup. And so we got out and walked from our school van, and just seeing the debris on the ground and the wires hanging down from the building, it just looked like this disaster. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it other than just chaos, and it smelled horrible. That was one of the things I remember the most. You know, you remember your sensory images, and it was hot, you know, April in Oklahoma, and it just people were still in there. And I think seeing that, like, with your eyes as a teenager and, you know, growing up in a pretty sheltered town in western Oklahoma, smaller than Kearney, the town I was from, you know, I'd never seen anything like that. And so I think when people get to see things of that kind of devastation, it sticks with you and you realize it could happen anywhere. And you felt, you know, in hindsight, I feel angry that it happened in my state, but I also feel a lot of resolve to stop it from happening in ours, you know, so.
Doing her very best to make sure that it never happens again. She is the director of the counterterrorism unit at UNO. If you're looking for any information on this, you can go to unomaha.edu/nsite. That's the letter N, C-I-T-E. She is Dr. Gina Ligon, and she has been my guest today. Thank you very much, Dr. Ligon. It was a real pleasure to talk to you today.
Thanks so much.